This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark and Noelle Lim. It is 7:06 in the morning, Friday the 29th of January. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with clinical psychologist Dr. Chua Suk Ning about how much Malaysia loses economically for every case of youth suicide. We're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account asking you, do you think corruption has increased in Malaysia over the past year? Is it yes? Is it no? It's the same. Has it no? Has it decreased? Or don't know? We've had about 7 votes so far. And of that 7 votes, 75% have said yes, they think corruption's increased. But do let us know what you think. But now, let's take a look at the markets.
Yeah, so in the US, the Dow and S&P 500 closed up 1%. NASDAQ was up 0.5%. In Asia, was mainly red. Nikkei 225 closed down 1.5%. Shanghai closed down 1.9%. Hang Seng closed down 2.6%. STI was down 1.3%. The FBM KLCI bucking the trend was up 0.3%.
Yeah, we have had a bunch of tech news as well this morning. Tesla, I believe, managed another profitable quarter, although it did miss analyst estimates on earnings. Revenue came in at $10.7 billion versus the $10.4 billion expected, and reported earnings of $270 million in the fourth quarter, up from $105 million a year ago.
Yes, so hooray to Tesla. It is its first year of reporting full-year profits. Both deliveries and production numbers set a new record for Tesla. So this is quite a triumph considering last year our auto sales and factory operations were dampened by COVID-19. I guess they are more prepared now to weather this, some of the SOPs that they had to put in place. The company also provided some guidance saying that it expects to achieve 50% average annual growth in vehicle deliveries.
Yeah, so they are one of the few companies, I think, to provide some guidance this time around. So Tesla CEO Elon Musk said that the updated version of the Model S would begin being sold in February. And Tesla said it would begin producing its newest model, the crossover SUV Model Y, at new plants in Austin, Texas and Brandenburg, Germany this year. So that's going to be something to pay attention to, certainly. Facebook earnings also did come in above Wall Street estimates on both their top and bottom line, though. They reported revenue of $28 billion, up over 30% from a year ago, and the adjusted earnings per share came in at $3.88 versus $2.56 in 2019. So the company said that it was one of those that benefited from the shift to online and towards e-commerce as the pandemic raged on. But it did warn that this trend could either moderate or reverse, which might serve as a bit of a headwind to ad revenue, particularly if vaccine news continues to be positive and people start going back to work.
Yes, and also I think Facebook at one point will be under regulatory scrutiny that will continue this year as concerns about privacy and all that. So the CEO Mark Zuckerberg said that the company is now considering steps to reduce the amount of political content on users' news feeds. He also announced that Facebook plans to permanently stop recommending civic and political groups to users around the world. I'm not sure what to make all of that news, right? Whether that should be the idea of doing it, but I guess Facebook is under a lot of, pressure and on their reputation as well. And as you know, this comes as Facebook and other social media sites face backlash for playing a role in encouraging political extremism.
Yeah, so this is one of the things that certainly I'm sure everyone is watching closely. But also this morning, in order to give us some insight into international markets, we have on the line with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited, based in Chicago. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today. So Apple also reported its largest ever quarterly revenue, while Boeing suffered a multi-billion dollar loss. Given these wildly different results, is it perhaps premature to call a recovery in non-tech sectors?
I think it is, in the strictest sense. However, I do think coming out of this, you're going to start seeing the cyclicals and values coming out into the next year. So I think this dip that we had right now, I think it's a buy, and I think this economy will come back, and I think it's going to be the value and cyclical lead.
Well, what's really hogging the headlines now is GameStop. What do you make of the decision by some brokers like Robinhood in limiting purchases of GameStop shares and other high-flying stocks? Although now I think they're going to allow purchases again on Friday. But just what do you make out of this limiting move?
I think it's a joke on price discovery, actually. And I think it really highlights the amount of euphoria and speculation that's in the marketplace, unlike, I think, anything we've ever seen before. So to me, I think it's really telling of, I think, a structural market problem. And I think there's, you know, this is going to be talked about, I think, a lot going forward. It's not real price discovery, in my view.
And what are some of the broader implications as well of the short squeeze of GameStop? For example, are we seeing massive rebalancing by those on the wrong side and much more instability ahead?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, more was shorted because of the rehypothecation than there was outstanding shares. So, I mean, it's, that to me is a little ridiculous. But, you know, I think the people that got hurt in that, there's a lot of hedge funds and a lot of money managers that made money on this as well. So, you know, I mean, when you short sell, you know, that's one of the risks, is limitless upside. I think that's a probably extreme example.
Well, speculation is really part and parcel of the markets. But what's really driving all these retail bets against institutions this time round?
Yeah, you know, I just think it's more the type of, you know, the social media and how, you know, to me it's a collusion of sort, a crowdfunding collusion type model. You know, it's something that, I, to me, it just amazes me how technology is always in front of regulators and always will be, in my view. But, you know, I think it's a different type of market. But I think what really scares me is the type of, I guess, pounding of the chest on how easy it is to make money. That's why I think you're probably nearing a major, we're going to probably mark this as a milestone in the marketplace. And I think you're heading to a major top.
So, Tim, last year's bumper year for SPACs, or special acquisition companies, is expected to continue in 2021. But what do you think is fueling this frenzied demand for them? And how do you feel about these so-called blank check companies?
You know, I remember what happened in 08. I remember when these companies came out. Except today, there's much more sophisticated players in the game. And so there's been some big successes, and that's attracted a lot of players. That scares me. But when I think you take a look at the ETFs, and you look at 80% of the ETFs are made up of SPACs that have already IPO'd or gone, you know, they already made their acquisition and are listed. So, and 20% is in the new ones. So I do think it's another indication of market froth. But this time, I think the companies, if you like the SPAC and they buy a company, I think the action is going to be on getting in on those companies that are going to be successful. So not so much a SPAC for a SPAC, but I think you got to be very specific.
Well, now going back to more down to earth, do you agree with the Fed's accommodative stance as outlined by Powell in their meetings?
You know, they really, it's nationalized credit market, you know, corporate and treasury market. With the amount of liquidity and balance sheet expansion and so forth. And is it any wonder why Bitcoin traded up to 40,000, you know? So I think that they don't really have a choice. But to me, the thing to watch for, if they have to move because it's inflation-driven, that's going to be a major problem, because in which case there'll be nothing they can do. So I do think that this largesse that they've, you know, propagated for the last 10 years and really accelerated, I mean, last year was unbelievable. I think that is really causing, if you see it in inflation, I think it's going to be trouble, and I think they're going to end up, this modern monetary theory, I think, will go by the wayside.
So do you think that we're going to be seeing a weaker greenback as the new normal for the long term then?
Yeah, I think it's the dollar, then the bonds, then the stocks, I think, in that order. That's how, to me, the waterfall looks. So I think the dollar, for sure, I think, is a sell. Problem was, it was such an overcrowded trade. So I think you have to use any rallies in the dollar as opportunities to sell.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Tim. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited, based in Chicago, giving us a bit of his thoughts there on the dollar, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's comments, as well as, of course, all the news that we've seen out of the purchases of the short selling of GameStop.
Yeah, so I think with GameStop, I think all that collusion and the herd mentality facilitated by social media platforms like Reddit have really, you know, caused this kind of behavior, right? Maybe one might say quite irrational behavior. And I guess as an investor, one needs to exercise caution. But, you know, I think this whole thing about Fed maintaining accommodative stance, what it does is just maintains yields are really all-time low or even negative, and causing investors to just seek out returns from riskier mm-hmm. assets like Bitcoin, specs even, and also indulge in all that stock shorting.
So speaking though of cryptocurrencies, Coinbase, which is the largest digital currency exchange in the US, they've announced that they're actually going to be going public through a direct listing. So this is coming at a time when cryptocurrencies have seen a lot of renewed interest. Spotify was the first significant tech listing to take the direct listing route back in 2018. Since then, a number of technology names have followed. So names like Slack, Palantir, Asana, game company Roblox is also expected to pursue a direct listing next month.
Well, speaking of IPOs, the cloud software vendor Qualtrics, their debut, they did really well on Thursday. I think the company was priced its IPO above the expected range, that was like $30, and it closed the day up 50% at $45.50.
So that's going to be something, technology stocks particularly, and the activity right now as we are still kind of in this pandemic period is going to be something very interesting to watch. But right now we have some messages coming up for you, and then up next, speaking to mental health NGO Relate Malaysia about the economic costs of youth suicide. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.